This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us for a special pre-recorded program while VOA headquarters resolves some technical issues. I'm Yehis Wahib in Washington. Coming up...
Never before in the history of our democracy has our country been confronted with such a severe situation. This situation calls for an extraordinary response. There can be no half measures.
That was South African President Cyril Ramaphosa on the need for tough measures to fight the coronavirus. Details coming up also. Liberia's President George Weah confirms the head of his Environmental Protection Agency has tested positive for the coronavirus. These stories and more next on this special VOA Africa program. Our top story, as the coronavirus spreads across Africa, countries are taking stronger measures to curb its spread. The restrictions may contain the virus, but will likely have a deep impact on the continent's economies. Simon Marks reports from Addis Ababa.
With several African governments closing borders, cancelling flights and enforcing strict quarantine requirements to curb the spread of the virus, experts say there will be consequences for the continent's economy. The United Nations says it now estimates Africa's GDP rate will fall from 3.2% to 1.8% this year. Vira Hasongwe is Secretary General of the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa.
This is going to deal a very severe blow to growth, even though the numbers of cases on the continent are quite small. Just look at that. Africa does not seem to be directly affected. But then when you go to the economics, and I think that is where the big story is for Africa, we are being severely affected.
Over the weekend, Kenya shut its borders to foreigners, while Ghana banned entry to anyone who had visited a country with the coronavirus in the last 2 weeks. South Africa, which is already in a recession, has declared a national state of emergency and banned travel to and from China, Europe and the US. Economists say these restrictions and others around the world will disrupt global supply chains and decrease travel, which in turn should cause oil prices to drop. Songwe says African oil exporters will feel the impact.
If you're a country like Nigeria, that is a net oil exporter, one, we're demanding less oil from you, but secondly, the amount of oil that we're demanding from you has dropped. So we are estimating that Nigeria could lose almost $19 billion if the trend continues. And that's a big shock to Nigeria's economy, which was already growing at quite a low rate of 2.8%.
In order for Africa to meet its global targets under the UN Sustainable Development Goals, economists say Africa must grow at a minimum of 8%. Stephen Karingi is director of the Trade Division at the UN's Economic Commission for Africa. He told VOA that the impact on Africa's economy and health systems would be devastating.
As things stand now, the 3.2 growth has actually been insignificant when it comes even to meeting the SDG goals. And that's the point that we want to make. In other words, we are going to see an increase in the number of people who are actually poor or below the poverty line.
The coronavirus also resulted in the cancellation of talks in Addis Ababa that were aimed at completing the African Continental Free Trade Area, which is scheduled to launch on July 1st. Wamkele Mene is the Secretary General of the Free Trade Bloc. He told VOA that without the talks, the deadline will be hard to meet.
We will have to find a way to expedite the work. To give you an example, in 2018, we worked for 26 days non-stop, from 9 in the morning until 2-3 a.m., 26 days non-stop, to meet the deadline of 21st of March signature of the agreement. So we will have to find a way, we will have to do something similar to expedite the work.
For the moment, most African governments are focused on simply containing the coronavirus. South African Finance Minister Tito Mboweni said Monday the government would need to set aside additional funding to deal with the crisis. More than 50 cases have been identified in South Africa to date, while both Ethiopia and Cameroon on Monday confirmed their fifth case, respectively. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa's drastic measures to combat the spread of the coronavirus have sparked concerns across all sectors of society. Ramaphosa imposed travel bans on several countries and also announced restrictions on local gatherings and travel. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
Ramaphosa's Sunday evening announcement, though much anticipated, has left businesses, churches and ordinary South Africans wondering how they will survive under the travel and association bans.
Never before in the history of our democracy has our country been confronted with such a severe situation. This situation calls for an extraordinary response. There can be no half measures.
From Wednesday, travel is banned between South Africa and several countries, specifically Italy, Germany, Spain, Iran, South Korea, China, United Kingdom, and the United States. All visas issued to citizens of these countries have been cancelled with immediate effect. Citizens from countries identified as medium risk, namely Portugal, Hong Kong, and Singapore, will be subjected to testing and possible quarantine on arrival in South Africa. One economic expert, Aza Jermaine, agrees with Ramaphosa, but nevertheless, he says the measures will further weaken the country's ailing economy.
What it means for business is fairly disastrous from a short-term point of view, because with people not being able to associate in any groups, you know, business activity is going to be curtailed fairly dramatically across many different sectors.
Schools have been ordered to close by Wednesday. All gatherings of more than 100 people have been prohibited. Malusi Mpumlwana, Secretary General at the Council of South African Churches, says this prohibition will impact negatively on churches, but insists that it's a necessary measure.
These are South African citizens and who are law-abiding citizens. I would imagine churches will look at how this impacts on their practices, in fact. But at the same time, a number of organizations, churches, have already been working with their denominations in this regard. We have asked all of them to share with us what they have already decided so that we can then be able to split that up.
Using taxis, buses and trains has been restricted to essential travel. 32 land ports of entry will be closed, a move likely to affect regional travel of people and goods. A National Command Council chaired by Ramaphosa has been set and will meet twice a week to tighten any gaps in the fight against the coronavirus. 61 coronavirus cases have been confirmed in South Africa. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Liberia says it has confirmed its first case of coronavirus. Addressing the country on national radio today, President George Weah said one of his officials tested positive. Nathaniel Blama, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, reportedly rejected quarantine after returning from an international meeting in Switzerland on Friday. Mosef Garaziwu reports from Monrovia.
I regret to inform you that Liberia has recorded a confirmed case.
That was Weah breaking the news to Liberians about the epidemic's expansion to Liberia. Blama was returning from the Green Climate Fund board meeting in Switzerland. Weah said Blama rejected quarantine, as has been done by other travelers who come from countries with cases.
The infected person is Mr. Nathaniel Blama, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Agency, who arrived in Liberia on Brussels Airline on Friday night, the 13th of March. Mr. Blama chose not to be quarantined in keeping with the health protocols that were in place at the airport.
He said the government is making robust efforts to trace some of those who travel on the flight that Blama boarded and has banned travel to Liberia from countries with more than 200 cases. The president also disclosed new measures to safeguard the population by announcing a mandatory paid leave for those he called non-essential government workers and travel restriction on officials.
Non-essential travel by all officials of government is hereby banned. All non-essential employees of the government are hereby granted a pay leave until further notice. The Civil Service Agency will announce the roster of employees in this category.
WIA has asked the population to remain committed to behavioral change in a period of containment of the coronavirus and not to panic. Public health activist Joyce Klippo has blamed corruption by public officials for the virus arrival. Klippo, head of the Public Health Initiative of Liberia, said too often officials disregard established procedures to the detriment of the ordinary citizens.
It's the issue of corruption and also the issue of lack of political will. Because if a government official come in and our ordinary staff is at the port of entry trying to stop this government official and he refuses, who enforces the law on him? And what happens now that he has done this? What is the next course of action?
In 2014, Liberia became the hardest hit of the three countries hit by the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. Screening and quarantine procedures have been set up by the health ministry at the country's international airport. Moses Gazil, VOA News, Monrovia.
You're listening to a special recorded program on VOA Africa. I'm Yehia Swuhib in Washington. Here's a recap of our top stories for today's special pre-recorded program. South Africa's president's dramatic measure to combat the spread of the coronavirus has sparked concern across all sectors of society. VOA is experiencing some technical difficulties, so we are offering this program recorded earlier. We aim to return to our normal programming within a few days. And in the meantime, thanks for listening to VOA Africa. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has designated U.S. diplomat Stephanie Williams as acting special representative in Libya and head of the UN support mission in Libya until a successor is picked for recently resigned Ghassan Salami. Williams has served in UNSMIL as Deputy Special Representative since 2018. Before that, she served as Chargé d'Affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli. Diplomats speaking on condition of anonymity said Guterres informally consulted with some council members about appointing 68-year-old former Algerian Foreign Minister Ramatan Lamar as his new Libya envoy, but no formal decision has been made. VOA senior analyst Mohamed El-Shenawi discussed the situation with William Lawrence, professor of political science at American University in Washington.
This is a very positive development, not as much because of her credentials or her nationality, but because she's a very good diplomat. She was instrumental in negotiating an agreement or a set of agreements between the Western forces, which is instrumental now in the defense of Tripoli. She's been instrumental in organizing back channel negotiations between the political parts of each side in the conflict. And she's very respected by Libyans. A number of Libyans have been telling me for over a year and a half now that they trust her much more than they trusted the UN envoy. And so this is a very positive development because she has much more credibility than many of the other interlocutors in the Libyan conflict.
Diplomats speaking on condition of anonymity said that Guterres had informally consulted with some council members about appointing the 68-year-old former Algerian Foreign Minister Ramtan Lamamra as his new Libya envoy, but the decision has not been formally made yet. The Algerian diplomat succeeded in the past to mediate a political reconciliation in Mali in 2015, and he has vast experience in Libya. Could that be a game changer in the Libyan conflict?
I don't think so. The three previous heads of UNSMIL, Libya envoys for the UN, have not been successful for a variety of reasons, but one was that the envoys themselves were unsuccessful in the various political efforts that they made, and at sometimes made mistakes. I am not sure that Lumumba can avoid these mistakes. The Algerians have a lot of very positive history in terms of international mediation, whether bringing the Iraq-Iran war to an end, getting U.S. hostages released, and many other international mediations which have given them a very high profile at the United Nations. You may remember that Kofi Annan's two top advisors, Sahnoun and Brahimi, were Algerians, and there are many top Algerian diplomats, both at the UN and in Algeria and around the world, who can do this type of work. Lumumba is very intelligent, very knowledgeable of African affairs and Libyan affairs, and certainly brings a lot of capacity to the peace process. But I'm not sure, since much of the problem is coming from Russia and other backers of different factions in Libya who have not come under control of the UN, I'm not sure Lumumba has the chops or the ability to negotiate the international aspects, nor am I sure whether the Libyans will necessarily listen to him, as Algeria has taken problematic positions at various times vis-a-vis the Libya conflict, according to Libyans. So I don't see Lumumba as a game changer, although I do see him as a welcome change, because Salamé had lost the trust of a lot of Libyans for some time now, and change in that sense is good.
So with the continuous regional intervention in Libya and the lack of desire among the warring sides to reach a political agreement or at least a ceasefire, what's needed to bring some sort of progress in the Libyan conflict?
More than anything else, we need to have back-channel dialogue between the two sides. There has been some success in these areas, at times sponsored by the United States and Americans, at times sponsored by Europe, at times sponsored by Russia and the Turks and others. And these types of deals need to be, deal-making needs to be continued. One thing that a lot of people don't understand about the Libya conflict is that we have an attacking side that's committing systematic war crimes and doing indiscriminate aerial bombing of migrant detention centers and civilians. And we have a defending side that's doing none of those things that we're constantly hearing pressure about, even today after Merkel called Siraj, that they need to agree to a ceasefire when they have agreed to every ceasefire that's been proposed and they are under attack. And it's very hard for their political representatives to negotiate the new political agreement while they're being bombed. We need better back-channel negotiations. We need a ceasefire that holds. We need more pressure on General Haftar to reduce his attacks and his siege of Tripoli. All of that before we're going to have much progress in political and peace negotiations.
That was VOA senior analyst Mohammed El-Shenawy speaking with William Lawrence, professor of political science at American University in Washington. Despite a progressive constitution that promotes gender equality in Zimbabwe, parity has remained just a dream for women. Rutendo Maweri reports from Harare.
While Women's Affairs, Community, Small and Medium Enterprises Development Minister Stembe Sonyon says government is doing all it can to empower women, women in Zimbabwe disagree. Human rights activist Sunga Nojare Wanashe says they've nothing to celebrate as they mark International Women's Month. Jare Wanashe says the Constitution seeks to promote gender equality, but implementation is lacking and women are still locked out from decision-making positions.
Because some know that there is a constitution and there is Section 17 that begs the women, Section 56, Section 80, all those sections in the constitution are supporting women, but it's just a quarter of the package that women want. Let us start with the presidium. No women in the presidium. Women are relegated to smaller posts, and some of the posts are useless. Even in the parliament, the ratio is not 50-50 as it is written in the constitution. So we cannot say we are empowered. There is no empowerment at all.
Jare Wanashe adds that government has not shown the will to implement the constitution to ensure equality.
We are lamenting. Men don't want with their post. They don't want to share with us. Though the constitution is telling, is mandating the government to make sure that Section 17 is implemented, Section 56, Section 80, and other sections that empower women.
Virginia Mwanigwa, Chief Executive Office of the Zimbabwe Gender Commission, concurs.
We celebrate as a country, as Zimbabwe, the adoption of a constitution, a progressive constitution that outlines clearly the issue of gender equality and non-discrimination, that spells out clearly, unambiguously, that men, women, girls and boys in Zimbabwe are equal and there's nobody who is less of a citizen than another.
Mwanigwa says the Gender Commission worries about the lack of implementation of the Constitution's provision on equality and pleaded with government to speedily implement them.
But what we then find as a challenge is that in practice this is not being done, because if you go into the arena of politics and decision making, we still see a lot of disparities in terms of who's represented, who's making decisions.
A female president of LEAD, a minor opposition political party, Linda Masarira, urges women to fight for power.
It will take the women themselves to shake off gender stereotypes, to shake off looking down upon other women, because we, the women, have got the power to ensure that we live in an equal world.
Human rights organizations in the country have said gender inequality is still rife. For VOA, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
In response to the global effort to contain the spread of the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, the U.S. Africa Command has cancelled Exercise Obangame Express. General Stephen J. Townsend, commander of U.S. Africa Command, said the action was taken so as to continue to remain on top of the COVID-19 situation and take appropriate action to protect troops and African partners. Obangame Express is designed to improve regional cooperation, maritime domain awareness, information sharing practices, and tactical interdiction expertise to enhance the collective capabilities of participating nations to counter sea-based illicit activity. The U.S. routinely exercises with partners in Africa to build enduring relationships and combine capacity to ensure the safety and security of the regional maritime environment. Exercise Obangame Express is one of three African Regional Express series exercises sponsored by U.S. African Command and conducted annually. While this year's exercise has been cancelled, planning continues for a senior leaders seminar and Obangame Express for 2021. And that wraps up this special VOA Africa program. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And thanks you again for tuning in to this recorded program while VOA resolves its technical issues. Thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.